The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Adam Fields, Midnight 27 Studios owner and creator of the comic book series Prowl. You are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 342. I hope all is well with you, and I want to thank you for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, you probably know that this past weekend was a weekend full of great wrestling action, including SummerSlam, ladies and gentlemen. So, I've invited once again the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, to join me to talk about SummerSlam. Last week, we made some predictions. We said this match might go this way or that match might go that way. And so we're going to review those predictions. We're going to give our own rating for each match and for the overall event in itself. And we're even going to touch base a little bit on Ric Flair's retirement. Ric Flair's last match was this past Sunday. So it's going to be a huge episode. So I don't want to mess around. I want to get right into a few announcements and then get to the conversation that I had with the pro wrestling pundits. And ladies and gentlemen, I got some news from the Columbus Podcast Awards. Now, it's not what you're thinking. They have extended the voting period for 2 more weeks, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, 2 more weeks. I think August 14th is when the voting will end. So you still have an opportunity, if you haven't done so already, to vote for the PVD Cast in 2 categories. First, in Podcast of the Year, and also as the best podcast in the entertainment division. It's real simple. All you have to do is go to columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations. You go down to the entertainment, click on that division, click on the little picture icon, if you will, of the PVD Cast logo, go to Podcast of the Year, do the same thing, enter your email address and your vote counts. By the way, I don't think you can vote twice. So if you're going to shoot me an email or reach out to me and ask if you can vote twice, I don't think you can. I think they monitor that. So please don't, because I want to win this year. Came in the top 4 last year. Want to win this year. And you know what? Good luck to everybody that's in the Columbus Podcast Awards. Hopefully you will win in your respective division and the PVD Cast will come home with some hardware. Ladies and gentlemen, just want to remind you again of a new project that I launched along with Justin and Jason from the Three Geeks podcast. It is a fantastic Patreon. It, of course, is going to highlight a lot of different content from the one and only Larry Hankins. So if you're interested, please check it out. Go over to patreon.com/Larry Hankins and you can check out all the different perks. We still have a few free preview things up there for you to check out. If you're interested, go ahead and select a tier and enjoy some of the great content that Larry is putting out there. And with that then, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my sponsor real quick, World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they are a proud sponsor and also the place to go for all of your comic book needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. In fact, this past weekend, they had a huge dollar comic sale. That's right, like a garage sale of all types of back issues. $1, that's it. It was highly successful. So again, if you need any more motivation, go on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. Just search for WGComics.com. Or you can check them out on Facebook at WG Comics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to kick it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with the pro wrestling pundits talking about SummerSlam. right, ladies and gentlemen, the pro wrestling pundits have joined me once again to talk about SummerSlam. Only this time, we're going to talk about our predictions. We're going to talk about what we liked and disliked about the event. Ringside Rand, how are you this evening?
Life is good in the Golden Ghetto, baby.
All right. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you, sir?
It's going up on a Tuesday.
Okay, never mind.
It's just one of those phrases we were talking about in the green room before we started. That's just something that the hip kids might have said. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, I've heard of plenty of those phrases like shit the bed or...
Long in the tooth.
I've heard those. I can't believe those other people that you were talking about hadn't heard those. Those
are like, so let's throw this out there. If anybody listens to this, tweet us some old-fashioned sayings.
Yes.
And we'll see if we know what they're about, if we
there
know
you go.
What you're talking
23
about.
23 Skidoo, the bee's knees.
I know the bee's knees. I don't know 23 Skidoo.
Yeah, I agree with Joey. I'm on the same boat.
I'm trying to get you different layers of nomenclature.
Okay.
Cool. How many podcasts are going to drop the word nomenclature in it?
Not many. None that I can think of.
No extra charge.
But here's the thing. I bet most of these sayings are probably in half the Matlocks that you review on your other
Probably. All right.
Another
reason
to watch Matt talk.
Or listen.
Anyways, so let's jump on into it here. I'm going to let the listeners know that what we're going to do is we're going to talk about each particular match. And then we're going to rate the match based on a body slam system. Five body slams for a fantastic match. One body slam for the drizzling shits. But before we get to that, let's talk about the overall pay-per-view, all right? What did you think about it from, you know, looking at it from all different angles?
Well, I'll tell you what. When you look at it, it set social media and Twitter ablaze. No pun intended. But you could tell that Vince wasn't in charge. And you could tell there was a breath of fresh air.
But do we have any idea how much Vince had this in place and how much Triple H changed? We may never know. But I think there's more perception than actuality. They were joking about Brock Lesnar being a farmer, and suddenly there's a tractor. No, I think that was planned a long time ago.
No, and I agree with you, Rand. I think that...
Triple H is getting a lot of credit.
Right. No, I agree with
probably
you
wholeheartedly. More of his work last night than Saturday night.
Yes, agreed.
I would agree on both accounts. Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't just say, hey, I mean, they're in Nashville. Like, everybody drives tractors down there, probably. I mean, most of the people down there, their family tree's a wreath. I get that. But you could tell there was a lot of Vince stuff with it. But Trips is going to get credit. I enjoyed it. I just think, like you said, with perception, I think people just wanted to believe more it was Triple H because for some reason there's this hatred of Vince. And I get some of it. But then I went back, you go back and you do some nostalgia. That show wouldn't have been on last night if it wasn't for Vince. Or
right.
Or Saturday night, excuse me. So all that hatred.
Or even
stuff,
Monday night, you know.
Yeah. So, anyways, overall, I liked it. I hope this is a big turning the corner, so to say. Overall, I'll give SummerSlam four body slams for the overall.
Okay. Rand, what's
it? I concur. I give it 4 out of 5 as well.
And I'm in the same boat. I gave it 4 out of 5 for the overall event itself as well.
It a breath of fresh air. We got out of Vince's status quo. No charge for that. And now we're in Technicolor with Triple H.
Well, it's nice. Breath of fresh air. Exactly. I love outdoor shows.
Yeah.
And big stadiums.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. And that was some of the haters were, and Rand brought this up before we came on here, were kind of shitting on the attendance because there's a whole part that was tarped off. But 48,000, is that what it?
Yeah.
48,
and some
eight something?
Yeah.
Is that what Kane came out and told us?
Kane would lie. He's in government now.
That's right. But I think that's still a pretty strong attendance.
I would say, yeah, I agree.
But
with
I love an outdoor show. That's because I still want to see one at the Chew. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
I think my only negative, and it's really not negative for me or for any of us as we're watching, but I felt bad for the talent that had to walk down that gigantic aisle. I was like, if you were the Ultimate Warrior, you would be so gassed right now.
He's had to do that before when he returned in Indianapolis at WrestleMania.
WrestleMania 8, Indianapolis, yeah.
It was a long-ass aisle, too.
Yeah, I just, geez.
guys, what the hell? All right, let's jump on in to the very first matchup. And man, oh man, starting off hot. Now, of course, I'm talking about the WWE Raw Women's Championship match between Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch. I liked it. It was sloppy, but not sloppy because they didn't know what they were doing. It was sloppy because it was a struggle. It was a fight. Physical, a few, like I said, a few rough spots. But I liked it. I mean, they were taking some hellacious bumps on the floor. So, again, hard hitting, very physical. I liked it.
Intense.
Intense. I gave it 4 body slams.
I went 3.5.
Okay.
The women's division right now is missing a lot of the top.
Uh-huh. Indeed. But I think, as we'll talk here in a few moments, they've began to kind of fill that in a little bit. So, Joey, what do you think?
Little Phil McCracken? Is that what they got going on?
Yeah.
So, I didn't see the spot where she separated her shoulder, Becky Lynch.
I didn't either.
Fairly early.
Was it fairly early? Yeah. Okay.
If you knew it, you could see that she was using her other arm more.
Okay.
But that's only because I watched it over.
Okay. Well, the one thing that did annoy me a little bit with this match is, look, Becky, if your knee pads aren't staying up, just take them off. Just don't stop messing with them because it takes me out of this. As I said, this is a big fight feel to this match, and every few minutes that you're stopping and not getting the heat on Bianca to tie your knee pads back up, stop it. Just take them off.
I feel the same way when I go to Columbus Gold. Stop playing with that brawl.
Yeah.
If you're going to take it off, take it off.
Right.
So I feel the same way, so I know. Anyway, so Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, 3 Bs there. So that's kind of what I would give this match, a B or a B+. So that would probably be around a 4 body slams too, especially when you compare their previous matchups.
Yes. Okay, good point.
I think that's when you set and you look at the body of work between those, you see where they've gotten, and you've seen the evolution of Belair being able to adapt more and do more in the ring than just walking around and hitting people with a ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
The evolution of her as a babyface has been pretty well, done well, and then the stories she's able to tell in the ring have been a lot better over the last year.
When there's a series of matches, do you expect each match to get better?
That depends on the competitors. I must confess, it depends on the competitors.
I could probably go back and think of some matches that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it depends. And let's talk about the big surprise. Bayley returns, and she's accompanied, of course, by Balls Mahoney. Oh, I'm sorry, Dakota Kai.
Why do you call her Balls Mahoney?
Because she wears those jeans that's all hip and that. You know, where there's like literally no front leg. It's all open like Balls Mahoney used to wear.
Get off my front lawn. Yeah. I know what you're talking about over there.
Hold on. I want to go get a cup of Sanka real quick, okay?
Is that after you drink your morning Ovaltine?
I do know that there's Fresca in this house.
In this house? In the studio?
Okay.
I mean, that's what...
Catering has them.
They got catering back?
All right, anyways. Io Sky also is accompanying Bayley, and a new name for her. I don't understand that either. But nonetheless, they are going to confront Miss Belair and Becky Lynch to the rescue. So what'd you think about this surprise?
So I compare it. I like to do a lot of bargain shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite stores I like to go to is Burlington. I used to like AJ Wright, places like that. And sometimes you see that the pair of pants hanging on it, man, that's really, you'd like it. You like it. It looks great. But then you go put it on, it doesn't fit right.
Mm-hmm.
And you like this analogy, right?
I do.
So that's segueing about that word into saying that I kind of liked it, but it just doesn't fit right. I like seeing Dakota Kai back. I like seeing Io Sky. I like seeing her back, and of course, you know.
You're a big mark for Bayley.
Oh, and the new red hair. Oh, my goodness. You like that red in her hair?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this particular line of questioning.
Okay, and I get the reasonings why. I totally understand. Like I said, I like seeing these people come back, but they just don't fit together. Yet, Now, as they go on and they maybe, as we see the story of their characters being told in this scenario, maybe.
Right, because we saw on Monday night that there's going to be some type of kind of, I guess, program with Alexa Bliss and Asuka. And maybe Bianca Belair, maybe not. You know, that's still being sussed out. You know what? I would not be too upset if they just focused on Iyu and Dakota Kai and let Bayley be like the mouthpiece for the group. I think that would be something that would be different. It's something that we wouldn't expect. And I think that that would help get them over while, you know, picking up victories over Alexa Bliss and
early Dakota Kai always kind of reminded me of Bayley anyways.
Yes.
And her work. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see that. So what I like though is this isn't as much as a spare parts thing because they're bringing them back. So it'll be nice maybe to have that tag team of Sky with Dakota Kai. Sky and Kai? Instead of Kai and Tai, Sky and Kai?
That's what I said.
And and then as the big news that we heard that Sasha and Naomi are returning, okay. As we read that online this week. So maybe we're going to see some more interest in the tag team division as well. So that kind of excites me too.
All right, let's move on to the next matchup, which is The Miz taking on Logan Paul. And The Miz is not coming by himself. He has Maurice and, of course, Ciampa with him, all in matching gear, which I appreciated, by the way. I like that. That was a nice touch. Let's start with you, Rand. What do you think of this match? Oh, wait, excuse me. Before we do that, let's see. I forgot to look at the prediction sheet here. Well, Joey, you and I both picked Miss Belair. Rand picked Becky Lynch, so there you go. Go ahead. Sorry, Rand, what's your thoughts on Logan Paul versus The Miz?
I think we need to look at Logan Paul differently. He's not a media person. He's an athlete who has a social media following because he was really good. I've been impressed with him. Now he signs this long-term deal. Is he going to be doing house shows? No. He's going to be doing big events.
Mm-hmm. And Raw.
With his social media helping the company.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a lot better than I thought he was.
I sent the joke out to you all about the guy that had the sign that said that Logan Paul is a better wrestler than Dominic Mysterio. Changed my mind.
And that's not a joke, though.
I know. That's the sad part. That, I mean...
Bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, you're a third generation wrestler, even though Reyes took the name from his uncle.
Right, right.
But still third generation. And that's a fair comparison to say. Totally impressed. I want to say this is one of the WWE's best signings, top three signings in the last 5 to 10 years.
Really?
I would go as far to say that. Because he has box office appeal.
Huge.
He has the look. He has that look. And he can go. So he makes that. Now all he can't. All he can do is go up from there too, right?
Yeah. Barring any injuries, yes.
So you know, I think a lot of people it changed a lot of people's mind. I still think there's some hate there, but I'm sure people are going to. I see him probably having a world title run tomorrow. No, but
no.
Next couple years.
No.
Why not?
Well, I also.
No.
I mean, no, as in not recent, not in the next couple of days. I was agreeing with you and said no. I even like the fact that Ciampa kind of interferes and AJ comes out of nowhere. Because that was even a nice little touch of like, you know, AJ's been rumored to be helping out Logan Paul. And I thought that was a good way to wrap up that storyline.
Is it Ciampa or Ciampa?
I don't know. I've heard it both ways.
It's almost like they were arguing last night on Raw. Booker T would say... Ciampa, or he would say Ciampa, and then somebody would say Ciampa, and then they'd say that was kind of annoying. But anyway, and I think that's a weird pairing.
Yeah, but I'm glad because I think that Ciampa deserves to get a big push.
Do they, now, if the Gargano comes back, do they put him with them?
Ooh.
He's coming back.
Yeah, I know.
With Trips in charge, he's coming back.
Yes, yes. He is. And don't be surprised that other...
Is Ciampa from Ohio, too, or where is he from?
He's Jersey guy.
But Gargano's from Ohio, obviously.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think there could be some sort of appeal with that, with a little mini stable
mm-hmm.
of younger guy, kind of younger. Even though they've probably been wrestling... I bet Gargano's been wrestling longer than Miz. Maybe.
I would say that Miz probably has him by a few years, like 2 or 3 years.
But, you know, Miz has been in WWE for a while. So, I think if... That would be a nice little stable, to be honest with you. A nice little group of four they put together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You could have your own podcast episode of just what we think the changes are going to be with Triple H.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who's coming back, who's leaving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who did Vince push?
How many body slams did you give this, Rand?
I gave it 3.
3? Okay. Joey, what do you think?
I gave it 4 just because of how pleasantly surprised I was and some of those huge spots.
Yeah.
Oh, like the
frog splash through the table?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, we're in unison tonight. I 4 for the exact same reasons, Joey. I agree with you. 4 body slams for the exact same reason. He had a great, strong showing. Yeah. And by the way, on our predictions, we all picked Logan Paul.
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go.
We have a wiener.
All right. Now, let's talk about Mr. Theory. As he took on Bobby Lashley in the next match, I really like this match. And I got to be honest, I think the pairing of Lashley versus Theory is great. Theory bumps like a machine for him. Lashley looks like a million bucks. That press slam into the Hurt Lock, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I gave it 4 body slams.
I gave it 3.5. I do think Lashley's a lot better as a face.
Yes, I agree.
And they need faces right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lashley's a terrible heel. I've always thought that. He's always been just coming in and the look and the... But I still... He's just still terrible on the mic after all these years.
Which is crazy.
You think he would pick that up. It's a great match because you've seen him so much with Omos.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get to see him with somebody that can go. So I'd give this 4 body slams just because it was a nice, even though they fought a couple times, it's still a nice refreshing matchup.
Yep. And Lashley goes over, and that means that Joey, you and I picked Theory, Rand picked Bobby Lashley, so there you go. 2 correct
picks for
everybody so far. All right, let's move on to the no disqualification tag team match, the Mysterios versus the Judgment Day.
I would think this is the worst match on the card.
Ooh, really?
But that's not saying it was a bad match.
Okay. Explain.
Well, I mean, but there was a lot of good, great matches on this card. I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of 4 body slams, 3.5 body slams. I would give this about a 3.5 body slam, only because I'm just over the storyline.
I'm with you, especially on Monday night. Like, I thought, okay, we're over and done with this. The Mysterios got the victory. We're over and done with this. And then Monday, we're kind of doing it again. And I'm like, I agree with you. As of Monday, I'm done with this feud. But for this match, I like this match. We picked it as the Judgment Day was ready to finish off Dominic. Edge returns, as we all said was going to happen.
With another new hairdo.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time in the barbershop. And I don't mean with Marty Jannetty.
Cutting and strutting. I wrote this down because I just thought this was kind of neat. I did really like the color contrast between the teams. The red, white, and yellow, and then the black and purple. Like, it just stood out as I was watching, and I was like, that's
nothing's really more annoying when you have 2 tag teams going at it and they both wearing the same damn colors.
Exactly. Absolutely. But these just had a little more of a pop to them, you know, the Mysterios.
I think Rhea Ripley needs to wear pants to look more
intimidating.
Intimidating, yes.
And I think I should be putting that triangle choke that she put on Dominic. Geez.
By the way, real quickly, I will say this. I know.
Would you
stop it? Dominic has the DM on his tights. He should have a finishing move when he breaks out on his own called Slide Into My DMs.
You are the king of dad jokes. I tell you.
Pregnant pause. It's like Lance Storm's in my living room here. Calgary. Alberta, Canada.
That's right.
All right, so the Mysterios win. Let's take a look. I picked the Mysterios to win. You two guys picked the Judgment Day.
Hey, does that mean I wear the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title?
Yeah.
Yes.
Love it.
All right, if my notes are correct, and I will, you know, one thing I didn't mention is I don't know if I missed anything because I did not watch SummerSlam live. I watched it after it had aired, and I did fast forward through all of the dead spots. You know, the let's do another commercial for WWE Shop Zone, and let's do this. So I don't think I missed anything.
Ran by Fanatics now.
What?
Yeah. Fanatics runs their merchandise now. So I don't think it's out of Groveport anymore.
Oh, man. I did not know that.
But Fanatics, they just want to own everything, and they're all those good sales are gone, I bet, after this.
Probably. So I don't think I missed anything, but I may have missed, because I think one thing that I did miss was I was fast-forwarding. I stopped, and then Drew McIntyre was talking to a kid in the crowd or something. I don't know. It was, I think, a hype for the Playmobil Castle match.
King of the Castle. King of the Castle. I don't know what it was. What's it called?
Something.
Clash of the Castle. Clash of the Castle. Yes.
Sounds pretty WCW to me.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
As long as somebody gets electrocuted in a chair. Down.
Or they have a truck on the Autobahn and you were having a wrestling match in the back of it.
Blacktop Bully and The Natural.
Dustin Rhodes.
They were probably on their way to Bucksnort, Tennessee.
They probably were. All right. Happy Corbin taking on Pat McAfee's our next match, if I recall correctly.
I love McAfee. I love him on the mic. I think we know he's a professional football player. We knew he could do things.
Yeah.
But he's been a pleasant surprise. I think he did. I loved the entrance with the choir. I loved on the back of his shirt, hashtag bum-ass Corbin.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty good.
He engages the crowd. The crowd loves him. That goes a long ways. I think they can use him whenever they need a match.
I agree, after watching this match, with what you said last week, Joey. He is the Shane McMahon of this new era.
Yeah, Pat McAfee free. But that you talk about the shirt. That's a McMahon thing. That's a Shane thing. Shane always had the crazy baseball jerseys,
yeah.
Right? And it said something. So
yeah.
He legitimately is the new Shane McMahon. And he keeps doing little things to impress me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody that can have a decent, good match like that with Happy Corbin,
mm-hmm.
is awesome with me. So I gave this 4 body slams as well. And it's mostly because of Christian McCaffrey, or whatever his name is.
Pat McAfee.
Patty Caffey. I don't know. Coffee. I don't know. Patty Mc... Whatever.
Well, Pat McAfee does pick up the win. I also really enjoyed this match. And Pat McAfee is the top of the recent list of celebrities that have decided to wrestle. He's still the best, I think, followed up by Logan Paul and Bad Bunny. Give
yeah.
the guy props. He can go.
And those are three much better
in
the last year or two
yeah.
than 5 to 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Karl Malone is not on that list, all right? Or Jay Leno. No, no.
But Pat Mackinac Island is.
Shaq isn't on that list.
I gave it 4 body slams as well. Let's see how we predicted this. Well, it was unanimous. We all decided that Pat was going to be victorious. And so, that moves us on to the Street Profits taking on the Usos for the Unified Tag Team Championship.
And who was the ref?
J-A-double-R. No, wait. I messed it up.
J-E-double-F.
J-A-double-R. E-double-T. I can't believe I messed that up.
He looks like he's in the best shape of his life.
Okay, may I go ahead and give my thoughts first?
Go right ahead.
You've triggered me.
You're navigating the ship, brother.
I thought this match was good. Perfect timing. It wasn't like the last match that went 23 minutes. But what was the point of having Jeff Jarrett when he did nothing? He did nothing. I mean, he was just a referee. That was it. There was no surprise of him giving the stroke to somebody, or El Kabong with the guitar, or slap nuts. Nothing. He was just a referee. And even when they attempted to try to start something, it fell flat. You know, because Ford yells at him. Oh, the count was fine. Why are you yelling at him? I was disappointed with that. I still give the match 3 body slams, but I wanted more. I wanted more.
Oh, you did. You definitely want more when you have somebody like him in there with them, for sure. I was expecting more of a schmoz with it, but it was the match. Just if you just separate that from the match was probably one of their best, probably the better matches that they've had together. I agree with the 3.5 body slams on that. But when you have Jarrett, you got to have a guitar shot.
Did he even have a guitar with him?
No, but it would be under the ring, because, you know, everything's under the ring.
Right. Hornswoggle's still under there somewhere.
Standing up.
Yes. Erect.
So, Brand, how many body slams did you give it? I'm sorry.
I gave it 4. I thought there was a lot of good action. I like the fact that the Street Profits were dressed like the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, that was a nice touch.
They seem to have a little bit more of a harder core edge. I got from them too than the normal. There was some of the playfulness, but they seemed more
serious.
Yeah, I got those vibes from it. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No, I got it. I think that they're trying to. They mentioned in the commentary that they were coming in more serious, more focused. And then we go to Monday Night Raw, and we see where maybe we're starting to see the split. You know, where Montez Ford took on Seth Rollins and had pretty decent showing.
Tricked him into it.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yes, great, great storyline, great booking on that. So in a few months, will we see the split finally, and Angelo Dawkins goes his way? And
so you did bring up something, too. You brought up the commentating, and that's when I talked to you the other day. One of the other buzzes on social media was how good the commentary was.
Well, because you don't have someone barking in your ear.
Exactly. And you had, and they were able to be themselves.
Yes.
So,
actual flow instead of constant being corrected and updated.
I think when guys, especially like Corey Graves, can be more of himself, I think he's a better commentator than, and I know you're not a big Corey Graves color guy.
I'm not.
But I think he did a way better job than what he could. I love the whole thing where he tried to shake, going back to the last match, Pat McCrae's hand, and he gave him the cross
chop.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny too. So.
Well,
I bet they end up having a match at Mania, by the way. I'm thinking that's going to build. It's going to be a Corey Graves versus Pat McCaffrey match.
Can Graves go, though? He's got the
He's been
net.
Cleared.
Has he been cleared?
Yeah, he was cleared a few months ago.
Here's my thing. I agree with you 100%. I think the commentary was much better than it normally is. Lack of Vince micromanaging people probably plays into that. Also, I agree with you, Joey, that I think they're allowed to be their own selves. But I also feel like, how do I want to phrase this when it comes to the commentary?
Free-flowing?
Yeah, there seemed to be a better flow because they put all the Raw matches with the Raw commentary team on first, and then SmackDown was second, even though McAfee couldn't participate in it. They brought Corey Graves over, but there still seemed to be a flow. Like, it wasn't that you didn't notice, this is the Raw team. Oh, look, the SmackDown team. Like, there wasn't that disjointed.
Here's
like,
Hugo Savanovich. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was in town, though, but unfortunately probably not available. We all picked the Street Profits, by the way, to win, so.
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
Yeah. But they did not pick up the win, as the Usos retain their titles. Now, a match that didn't happen, even though it was scheduled to, was Riddle versus Rollins. And, I don't know. I mean, I know it's a storyline that they are trying to go with, Riddle versus Rollins. But I just kind of, I don't know. I felt like this, why even have Riddle come out if you're just pushing this towards Clash of the Champions, Castle, He-Man, Grayskull, you know? Like,
Clash of Castlevania.
Castlevania. That's better. We're going with that one. Clash of Castlevania. I felt like this was like, even though it was only like 5 minutes, it was an unnecessary segment, I guess is what I'm saying. Rand?
This came on at 10:45. They're obviously not worried about 3 hour shows anymore. Because even with the few commercials and Charlotte's promo, they could have edited it. They could have left those out.
I didn't know there was a Charlotte promo. I must have
fast-forwarded
through that. Okay.
Between those matches.
Okay, I must have fast-forwarded through
and
that.
And there's a Drew McIntyre promo. They're obviously not worried about three-hour shows.
Or three-hour tours.
Joey, what'd you think about this segment?
I mean, I can see what they're trying to do is push the, but if they're going to have that, why not just have a match?
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I'm going with. Exactly.
So,
all right, we're moving on now to the match that, for me, was the worst one on the show. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey. Joey, I'll let you go first.
Do you think it was the worst because of match placement? Do you think that mattered with this, too, where you had such
no.
a hot show and where
no.
it was put?
No. I took offense. Not offense, but I did not like...
Was it a privacy fence?
No. I did not like the match the way it was booked. Okay, because here's the thing. Look, right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you think Liv Morgan's a great wrestler or not a great wrestler, it doesn't matter. She is cultivating a good following, right? A good fan following. You put the belt on her, whether you did it out of pity or for whatever reason you did, you gave her the belt. So yeah. Now let her run with it. And what did you do? You booked her in a 4-minute, pretty much squash match to Ronda Rousey, who now, again, is going to take off and be gone for a couple more months. So what the hell's the point? How are people supposed to get behind Liv when you can't let her? I'm not saying that she has to go toe-to-toe with Ronda, but hell, anything would have been better than what happened in that match because she got almost zero offense in, and it made her look incredibly weak.
So you're saying if you're going to make her a champ, make her look solid.
Yes.
She's an underdog. Let her be the underdog.
Exactly. In this match, she wasn't. The only thing she did that was, I mean, she got a few kicks in, a few strikes. She got the Rings of Saturn, and the rest of the time, she got her ass kicked. That was it. So you're not doing anything for her in the character.
She survived and got lucky.
Yeah.
Reversing
right.
The hold into a pin.
Right.
That's almost booked like she's a chicken shit heel.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why this gets one star. Just the booking was horrible. Again, how are you to build superstars when they can't have a match where they can make you believe that they're this awesome athlete?
So Ronda actually pinned herself because Liv stood up.
Oh, and I hate that finish. That finish sucks too. I throw that in. Sorry, Rand. I'll throw that in there. That was a terrible finish.
There were several times Liv prolonged and escaped just by getting to the ropes. So she looks horrible, or she's surviving rather than winning.
I just, and no offense to the lady, she's you always hear how hard she works. She's a team player, but she's just not believable as the champion.
And this didn't help, Joey.
And it didn't help at all, no.
There is no reason why you couldn't have said, okay, here's what's going to go down. Match is going to be 4 to 5 minutes. All right, Liv comes out of the gate hot, drop kick, elbow, hip toss, arm drag, back drop, drop kick, then let Ronda take over. Oh, she misses a drop kick, boom. Ronda takes it on, then you go to that finish.
The blueprint is there for that type of match.
Absolutely.
Razor Ramon, 1-2-3 kick.
Yes.
It's already there.
Any Spike Dudley match.
Exactly.
I mean, it's there. You don't have to look far. Just walk down the end of the hall in Stamford and go to the booth, the video booth, and watch some tape. It's there.
Hopefully you don't stumble upon the Vince McMahon Lost Files because there's probably some weird stuff on there.
Hopefully you don't stumble across a tape of Tough Enough VHSs of wannabe candidates because you might find mine in there. Anyways.
There might be a tape in there too, the sex tape between Katie Vick and Kane.
Hey, speaking of Kane, he came out to tell us the attendance.
What another great segue. That's why I'm not as good of a broadcast journalist as Ringside Rand, but I can hold my ground.
Kane comes out to give us the attendance. First of all, number one, he's the mayor of Knoxville, clear on the other side of the state, so I don't even understand why he's there.
Knoxville County, which is weird how they have it set up.
Yeah, it is weird, but nonetheless, I was like, what is he doing here? I don't think he got a very good applause, you know. That had to have been a Vince thing. I've already booked him. I can't say, pal, you can't come. Damn it, Kane. You know, I just, anywho. Well, by the way, I'm sorry, I got all fired up with Liv and Ronda. I had picked Liv to win. Rand, you had picked Liv to win. Joey picked Ronda to win, so.
By the way, that was Liv Morgan's first SummerSlam match.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that. Yeah.
Well, how long has she been there?
6 years, probably, I would say. Before we get into talking about the main event of SummerSlam and Ric Flair's last match, gotta do one quick thing. Gotta pay some bills, so to speak, and thank my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Joey says they have an amazing...
Marvel Legends.
That's right,
Marginal? Marge Shot. They have an insane amount of Marge Shot autographs of her in a bathing suit with Shotzi. They have that. They have tons of those.
I would like to apologize to the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics.
Manager Jeff will be on the line soon.
Anyways, they have it all, basically, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm trying to say. you definitely want to check them out, especially if you live in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or check them out online at WGComics.com. Or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics.
Quick question.
Yes.
And this goes great with our good friends of World's Greatest Comics.
Yes.
If you could take one superhero from the Marvel Universe and drop them into the WWE Universe, who would it be?
Ooh.
Who would fit the best?
Sergeant Slaughter Count, G.I. Joe?
I mean, it's kind of Marvel, but that's...
Yeah.
How about we talk superhero?
I have the figure.
I'm sure you do.
I do, too.
I just got the new one from SDCC, by the way.
Really?
The new Sergeant Slaughter, yeah. It's nice. Kind of, I pre-ordered it.
Nice. Man, if I'm dropping someone in, I'm going Thor.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's God. He's very strong. He's quick. Agile.
Well, he's got a hammer.
Sledgehammer.
You team him with Val Venus? So, here's the thing. It's funny. I'm going with his brother.
Loki.
I think Loki's a perfect WWE character.
Really? Why do you say that?
Promo.
Oh, yeah.
I think his in-ring work would be pretty good.
Okay.
But I think he's got the perfect blend of both.
Okay.
I think he could hold himself on the mic and he could work. And it would be very entertaining.
Mm. Aquaman could only do Bash at the Beach.
But he's DC, so you'd want Namor. Or Namor.
Namor, I believe, yes. You don't want Namor. He's lame. I mean, the only thing he ever did that was of any merit is he banged Sue Richards. Anyways.
Well, that's not a bad thing. Now, would you put Black Panther in the Nation of Domination?
That would be great. Good call.
All right, let's get to it. The main event. Last man standing match, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. I will say this. I need your input, gentlemen. What is the better vehicle to come out to the ring on? Is it Brock's tractor, the Stone Cold monster truck, or Sergeant Slaughter's camouflage limo?
Miro had a tank.
Miro had a tank as well. I forgot about him.
Triple H had some kind of chariot.
I'm going Kurt Angle's milk truck.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm going.
All right.
What about Biker Undertaker with his... He had a motorcycle for a while. And I also think... Didn't Stone Cold have a four-wheeler for a while?
He had a four-wheeler. He also had the Zamboni that he stole in Detroit. He also had the beer truck.
Where the milk truck came from, correct?
Right.
I remember a match. Seth Rollins used a forklift to pin Eric Rowan.
Oh.
Backstage. He knocked him down and used the forklift to go down.
And that was from Mankind. And
Halftime Heat.
Yeah, Halftime Heat and The Rock, yeah.
Well, uh-huh. This was just about 3 years ago.
Mm. Well, let's go ahead and talk about this match in the main event. Joey, what'd you think about it?
I really liked it. I think they added a couple new aspects because we were like, we don't want to see the same boring match, and we didn't.
No.
You know, it was neat, the whole lifting that poor ring is so fucked. Like, at that when they did that they're not using that ring again.
It's a training ring.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, there are reports that it's from the Performance Center because they didn't have, if you notice...
The lights on the sides.
Yep, they didn't have the lights on the sides of the posts. The posts were round, they weren't squared. So, it was a training ring. But my thing is this, I like that, but goddamn... That's some dangerous shit.
Super dangerous.
I mean,
everything with that
him driving to the ring with just a couple of feet on the outside.
Yeah. I liked it too. I thought that they went to the tractor too many times, you know, because he picked him up and scooped him up and then dropped Roman Reigns. And then one time he got on it and then decided not to do anything, got back off of it. So
I just remembered Brock did something like this with a Big Show. Where they had a stretcher match. He had the Big Show in the loader and drove him across the line.
I don't remember this.
I would have liked to see, now how cool would this have
Judgment been? Judgment Day
2003. Okay.
A run-in with the Mexicools and a Wandeer.
Mexicools.
You know, overall, look, you knew this was not going to be a great match. You knew this was going to be, we're going to beat the shit out of each other. And that's exactly what it was. The ending was fantastic in that you buried him under all the rubble. I thought that was funny. and cool. That was a cool way to also end it. Yeah.
Rubble.
Overall, I liked it. I mean, as I said, the theory comes out and gets waylaid. What about Haman taking the F5?
That was massive. Did theory cash in or not?
He did not cash in. From what all reports are, he did not cash in.
He's got the perfect brief. Chicken shit heel. I know he used that term earlier.
He's got lethal tendencies.
And indeed. So here's the thing. I think this has the same theme with some of the other matches we spoke of earlier. Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I had low expectations for this because of being another. But after seeing everything that they used and Lesnar being able to actually use some charisma, Cowboy Lesnar is just hilarious. It exceeded my expectations. And what'd you do to your hand?
You just now noticed that? I've been sitting over here with my hand.
Are you going to put me in the mandible claw?
No, I burned my middle. I burned my middle finger on my left hand fixing dinner tonight, so it's wrapped up in a cold. This is all very damp and cold.
What'd you fix for dinner?
I had a pizza.
Ooh.
I'm sure all the people listening wanted to know this, but anyways.
The irony is, that's his dialing finger. He called for pizza. Had nothing to do with the oven.
Was it delivery or DiGiorno?
It was DiGiorno.
So anyway, so back to the match. I give it 4 body slams just because it exceeded expectations and the whole use of a tractor.
I give it 4 body slams too because it was what it was. They beat the hell out of each other. And again, the dangerous stunts with the goddamn tractor was great. Rand, what do you say?
There were a lot of times I was cringing that the loader was hanging over the ring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you better make sure you know where you're going, because if you whip somebody into that ring.
Uh-huh. I thought it too, Rand.
I don't know that this was actually a match or more of an exhibit. How do you grade this? It was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It told great stories. A lot of good action. Best of the night, but I'm giving it 4.5.
Oh. I gave it 4 body slams. You gave it, what, 4, you said?
I did.
Okay, now we do have a controversy here because Rand, I didn't write down who you predicted to win. Joey picked Brock. I picked Reigns. Rand, do you remember who you picked?
I think I had Roman Reigns because we don't know how much longer Brock's going to be there.
Right.
And vice versa, though.
And right, exactly. Now we're at the point, who's next for Roman Reigns? Is going to be, no, it's not going to be Goldberg. It's going to be Drew McIntyre for Clash of Cancelvania.
So, Lesnar, that was supposed to be Cody Rhodes' spot.
Right, correct, yes.
So was Cody going to win that if he was going to be in?
I don't know, that's a good question.
Is Cody believable winning over Roman Reigns?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes. He would work it like Dad would work it.
And
he would get the shit kicked out of him for 75% of that match, sorry Joey, and then make that comeback.
And plus, if it was Cody Rhodes this first time around, no. But when he left and came back and what he's done since, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. All right, let's talk about the other big event from this past weekend. That, of course, is Ric Flair's last match. Guys, any thoughts, any opinions, any...
Well, you talked about cringing about a tractor. Imagine cringing for 85 to 90% of the match, especially when a guy on blood thinners gigs.
Yeah.
Like, that's scary when you're 73 and you're on blood thinners and you still blade yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was cringeworthy. And was Taker allowed to be there? I didn't understand that as
a
kind
of
contract.
A lot of big wrestlers were there.
I think, as we said last week, I think there's some leniency with this event. That's why Jeff Jarrett could work it and also be on SummerSlam. I think that maybe, and this might, I think this is actually something that Vince put into motion. I don't think Triple H had anything to do with this. I bet weeks ago, Vince was like, okay, any of you guys want to go see Rick's last match, you can go, you know, provided you were somebody. If you're Mick Foley, if you're Bret Hart, if you're Taker, you can go. Guaranteed. Like, Chad Gable and Otis couldn't have gone, and I just randomly picked them out of the, you know what I mean, out of the roster, you know. Tozawa wasn't allowed to go, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think that came with some clout, and that's how you got to see that.
And Undertaker looked so unenthused throughout most of that match. He just sat there kind of stoic, like he was worried or something.
Were they allowed to go because this isn't considered direct competition?
Well, yeah, that too. Yeah, this is a one-and-done thing. I had no interest in watching it. I was not getting the pay-per-view because I humbly believe that in 3 or 4 years, when Flair needs another paycheck, he'll come out of retirement. And so I really wasn't. And I was more interested in some of the undercard matches. But after reading the results, especially the one that I really, really wanted to see, the Josh Alexander versus Jacob Fatu match, and the way that it ended in kind of a really unsatisfying way, we'll just say that, I'm glad I didn't get the
paper. Is Josh Alexander related to Marcus Alexander Bagwell?
No, he is not, no.
Okay, just wanted to clear that up.
No, he is not his Canadian cousin, no.
If Flair needed to work, and let's assume that 7 ex-wives and 15 mortgages or whatever, couldn't he be on a commentary, a commissioner role, or a manager?
I could see commissioner role or manager. He slurs his speech since he had that thing down his throat. Like, he
really
doesn't speak.
I didn't notice that. I think he would be terrible on commentary because he would just be, again, stealing the spotlight. It would all be about him at the announce table and not what's going on in the ring. And I feel like you don't want that with a color commentator.
Not at all.
No. All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and start wrapping things up here, if you will. DJ Joey Blaze? That's right, if you will. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you on the internet?
Well, obviously, you can, if you want to message me in particular, at DJ Joey Blaze on Twitter. For those of you that are into collectibles, please give us a follow on Instagram at Remix Collectibles, where we go live on Whatnot. We just recently, if you're into sports cards, we just recently started breaking sports cards on there, so make sure you check us out, or remixcollectibles.com has our link tree on there every different way you can reach us.
When you do one of these live broadcasts, do you...
I'm naked.
What?
Is that... No, you're not asking that?
No, I'm not asking if you're naked. No.
I wear a tube sock, though.
I was going to ask, do you start it off with music that goes, Remix?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. Not at Rand, all. I don't know where that was going, but anyways.
I was really hoping that you were wondering if I was naked.
No, I didn't think that at all, Joey. Why would I think that?
I don't know. We've known each other for a while.
Anyways, Rand, let's turn things over to you.
Yeah, I was on the internet the other day, and I got a question. Craigslist?
You can't hook up on there anymore.
I want to know.
Backpage? No.
I want to know, is Craigslist the brother of Angie's List? I mean, are they really...
She's now Angie. So that tells you they used to be a married couple. Oh, they got divorced. She's going back to her maiden name.
So she was the absolute... She met somebody on Craigslist and cheated on him. And that's why you can't hook up anymore on Craigslist. And she just went by her first name.
Suckers need to know these things. Yeah, Twitter, at Rand Dittmar.
And he's on YouTube. You got to find him, though. It's somewhere like around the dark web or something. I don't know.
You know what? To find this YouTube channel of Rand's, it's going to be like Indiana Jones.
Okay.
You're going to have to go down a tunnel, switch out an idol for a sandbag.
It's going
to
be like Barney on How I Met Your Mother finding the Robin Sparkles videos.
Okay.
I just went to WadeBaldSucks.com and it came up. Is that the URL it's at or no?
No.
Okay.
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, sitting down with me to talk about SummerSlam and all the great wrestling action that happened over this past weekend. And maybe you agree with some of the things that we said, and maybe you disagree. Well, there's a way you can reach out and let me know. First, you can shoot me an email if you like. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. Or you could drop me a line over on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Or you can leave me a note over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that as well. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and a simple and easy way to get every single episode of this beloved podcast. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets, you know, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, Spotify, etc., etc. All you have to do is go into the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And
there's even an easier way than that. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page of the PVD Cast, I play the week's episode. So it's a simple way for you to check it out and actually even interact with me. Because if you have comments or whatnot, you can put them in the comment section and I will respond to them. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter how you listen. I need you to rate and review every single episode you listen to because it helps me out in the algorithm. It helps me out with all those podcasting apps. And, you know, every podcaster needs those ratings, need those reviews. You can leave as many stars as you want for the rating. And you could just simply drop a couple of lines in the review. You don't have to write like a book. You can just write down great episode or I enjoyed it or whatever. You don't have to write anything super long. In fact, I doubt that they even read them. But anyways, please rate and review. And of course, always subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I know it's been a little bit of a longer episode. So I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I shall chat at each and every one of you later. And as always, stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.